It is Friday, March 15th. Let's talk PlayStation. So it seems like many of you are okay with the weekly PlayStation Plus Instant Game Collection reminders. So, as a reminder, your March 2019 games for the Instant Game Collection is Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered and The Witness. You have until April 2nd to download those games. Now, for our first news story, a crazy rumor that dropped earlier in the week, and I didn't want to do a video right away because if this was even remotely close to being true, I would have done a video right away. But it was so outlandish, I was like, dude, I'm going to wait until Friday because there's no way this is true. And sure enough, it ended up not being true. So the rumor was, if you didn't see, there was a Market Watch article about, you know, some stocks and whatnot, and I'll just quote it right here. This is what was written in the article. Take-Two Interactive Software stock climbed 4.7% on rumors that Sony Corp is in advanced board-level discussions to acquire Take-Two Interactive in a mostly cash deal that would value the company at $130 a share, according to Joel Kulina, head of technology and media trading at Wedbush Securities. This, of course, would be absolutely insane if Sony were to somehow acquire Take-Two. Do you understand the repercussions of that? Take-Two, of course, having Rockstar Games, 2K Games. Think of all those IP underneath there, right? You got Bioshock, Grand Theft Auto, Borderlands, XCOM, Civilization, Mafia, Midnight Club. All these great games, right? The repercussions would be huge. This is almost like those rumors that were about 3-4 years back now, where it was a rumor about Microsoft purchasing EA, and it was just so outlandish that it's like, that's not really going to happen. And of course, it didn't happen. And so that's kind of the same scenario here. It just doesn't make sense on all fronts, though. I mean, Take-Two doesn't need to be purchased. They have so much money. They make so much money. I mean, Grand Theft Auto 5 alone, the amount of money that game prints is ridiculous. Does not need to be exclusive to one specific platform. Certainly, the future of all those franchises don't need to be exclusive to one specific platform. The money required to purchase Take-Two is inordinate. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of upwards of $10 to $15 billion, closer to around $14, $15 billion, which is, Sony barely has that, I believe, maybe a little bit close, maybe a little bit under, but it would be like, it's pretty much all of Sony's cash, more or less. I mean, it just wouldn't even be remotely feasible. It just didn't make sense on all fronts. Wedbush Securities' Joel Kulina said it was basically just unconfirmed market speculation is more or less where this rumor birthed from. And then Yuji Nakamura, who is a Bloomberg tech reporter, actually asked Sony themselves, to which they said there's no truth to that whatsoever. So that's the end of that crazy rumor. I'm glad that it was squashed somewhat quickly and it didn't kind of loom around for upwards of a week to 2 weeks to where people really start to talk about it and believe that it's going to happen. It's just crazy. And you know, the thing is, you don't want something like that to happen. That's bordering like a monopoly with PlayStation. You don't want that. But even if, let's just theorize for a second. Let's just say in some theoretical world that actually happens. It would be in Sony's best interest to act much in the same veins of how Microsoft acquired Mojang with Minecraft and just continuously release Minecraft everywhere. It would have made zero sense to keep Minecraft exclusive to Xbox, exclusive to PC. They would make way too much money releasing the game on PlayStation. So if this news story actually happened, it would be within Sony's interest to just keep, you know, releasing all those IP on every single platform imaginable. It just would not make any sense to, you wouldn't even recoup enough hardware sales and software sales on strictly just PlayStation hardware than you would just releasing those games everywhere else. Which is why Take-Two would never do anything like that. So thank God that's over. Now for this next news story, it's something that we actually haven't talked about on Let's Talk PlayStation. I've been kind of waiting for the right moment to talk about it because it just hasn't seemed that substantial just yet, but now is a pretty good time. Well, to bring you up to speed, what we haven't been talking about is Sony censoring some games. Sony, for the past 6 months, maybe upwards of a year, maybe a little bit further than that, has been censoring a lot of these really obscure Japanese visual novels, and you know, they're very obscure niche games, more or less. They don't get a whole lot of attention, but people still find it to be a pretty hot topic, given that Sony is requesting these games to be censored based on the territory that they're being released in. And people, of course, don't like that. They want to have the full experience, quote-unquote, the way the developer intended it. And, you know, the certain examples that have been springing up so far are to the point where it's like, all right, this is super questionable. And it's like a big culture thing between, you know, Japan and Western territory. So it's like in a situation where I almost see why Sony's doing it. And I didn't feel it was that big of a deal just yet up until maybe it gets to a bigger point, which is where we're at now, which is that Devil May Cry 5 has recently come out. Of course, people are enjoying the game, but people have noticed some discrepancies in the versions. So on the PlayStation 4, there's a particular scene that's actually censored, right? All versions looks fine. Trish is being laid down naked and you see her butt in the shot, but on PS4 there's a lens flare so you can't see her butt, right? The odd thing though is that there's another scene with a naked woman And that scene is blocked on every version, right? So there's a lens flare for every version, Xbox One, PS4, PC. But to the Trish scene, the lens flare is only on PS4. So that's why it's not... I don't know if that's particularly Sony. Maybe this is a situation where Capcom is going to patch the other versions later. But the other caveat is that if you don't patch DMC5 on PlayStation 4, you do not get the lens flare, right? So it was obviously added in after the fact. It's just interesting. I would want to sit on this a little bit more to see where it goes, because it is quite odd that you've got two different scenes and there's some discrepancies there in terms of which one's being censored and which one isn't. I will say, though, if this is Sony's doing and they requested this lens flare on the Trish scene, that seems really kind of ridiculous. I mean, wasn't really that big of a deal. The Japanese novel stuff, like I was saying, that stuff really gets kind of obscure and ridiculous and kind of uncomfortable for some people. I could certainly see why that might be a situation where Sony kind of puts their foot down, certainly in the political climate that we're in nowadays. But something like this, where you're just seeing some tush, I mean, come on, it's not really a big deal whatsoever. And so that's why we are kind of teetering on the edge of like, oh no, Sony, don't get into this kind of censorship role where you deem what's right and not right for the consumer. And it's one of those things where, in the context of Devil May Cry 5, not a big deal. You can play the game from start to finish, no problem. This shouldn't affect you just because you don't get to see some ass crack. But it's the precedence that this could set, now that this is a more mainstream title that a lot of people are getting exposed to, and noticing this, that other versions of the game are not being censored in such a manner. So that's where it can get a little touchy. And so I think for something like this, we'll wait and see what happens. Maybe it will get patched on the other versions, or maybe it won't. Maybe somebody will comment on this. But certainly, if this is where we're going towards, Sony is certainly going in the wrong direction. Moving on, we've got a new patent to discuss that was brought to light by YouTuber SkullzyTV, a very good find by him. But this patent is a personalized, like, training system, more or less, and it's using neural nets. So the patent actually says, and I quote here, "The personalization learns from historical interactions of players with the video game, and, optionally, other video games. In an example, a deep learning neural net is implemented to generate knowledge from the historical interactions. The personalization is set according to the knowledge." Now, the patent imagery clearly shows a PlayStation 4, but it was filed back in 2016, which would explain why it's showing a PS4, certainly. But it was recently published in 2018, I believe, so I guess this was sitting around for a little bit without being discovered. But it's a neural net, which is very fascinating technology because it's machine learning. Over time, the system will start to understand you better in terms of your play style, possibly your skill level, things like that. And so what this could do on a system level and not necessarily a game level is understand, you know, for example, I guess you could do a situation where, let's say you're very good at a video game, right? And so you don't need tutorials in most video games. You're very naturally good at first-person shooters, or you know, you don't die over and over again. You know, you're competent, right? And so the machine learning could understand that and possibly skip tutorials for you because you're PlayStation 4 or, in theory, next-gen hardware on an OS level type situation. So this might be something that's baked into the SDK for future video games, right? Where you make the next Call of Duty, the next Battlefield, the next what have you, and in the SDK, you can use this machine learning and adapt it to that particular game. So the next time you buy another Call of Duty, it doesn't give you those tutorial prompts, or you can skip a certain, you know, tutorial chapter or whatever, right? This, of course, could be used for a number of other things. Again, baked into the SDK for multiple video games being released on the platform, like, you know, better matchmaking based on skill level, or, you know, visiting the PlayStation Store and it curates a selection of content for you in a very, very personalized manner. Because when you go to the PlayStation Store, that, you know, best for you based on recent purchases and all that nonsense, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It just kind of recommends, you know, nonsense that you'd never actually play before, you'd never want to be exposed to. So it could be a much more personalized version of that. A neural network is actually pretty impressive, though. A lot of tech companies are using it nowadays. It's the surefire way to make your product better over time, as it consistently learns and improves and understands the needs and wants and desires from the consumer. That's how self-driving cars are actually being made today. You have all these cars on the road based on a neural network, gathering all this data from traffic lines, you know, traffic signs, all that stuff being gathered around for unique scenarios of certain intersections and exits and freeways and all that stuff, right? That's how it works. And so that's how it's kind of being applied here in a video game console, which is cool. That's why when I saw this, I thought, you know what, this is actually, I really hope this is something that Sony's working on, like, heavily. And certainly this would be something that would be for a next generation platform, because it's not present in PS4. And if they were to put it in PS4, it seems like kind of a, you know, too little too late kind of thing, you know, but certainly it would be a headlining feature on PlayStation 5 to say, you know, this platform is tailored to you, play with it over time and it understands who you are, it, you know, it understands your preferences better, your skill level, this, that, and the other. There's a lot of avenues that they could take this, and that's why I think this is actually very good, and I really hope they do pursue this, because Sony does hold millions of patents, and we only see like 1% of them more or less actually come to the market. Now we've got some Days Gone news, and to be honest, we'll probably have some Days Gone news every single week up until the game actually comes out, because as I mentioned last week, I think they're close to release, so at this point, Sony Ben's doing a lot of PR and interviews and stuff like that to build up pre-release for the game. Well, anyway, for our first item, Days Gone is probably going to have some post-launch DLC, so the community manager, David Lee, had this to say when asked about some story DLC. I think the main story will give that information to you. We have announced DLC before, but we haven't really announced what that DLC is yet, so keep an eye out for that. But with the main story, that should be sufficient enough to tell you the characters' backstories and make you care about them one way or another. I do find it a little odd that he said they've already announced DLC, because as far as I know, they haven't announced DLC before, unless it was like a costume or guns or something small like that. But from what he's saying right now, apparently it's not going to be story narrative driven DLC, so I'm not sure what it would be, if it would be a different type of mode or a different expansion to the map or maybe a new game plus. I don't know, because DLC implies you're selling it, so it's got to be something a little bit substantial. And for a narrative game, you'd want it to be story content, so that kind of, if anything, kind of makes it seem like they're making DLC that's not going to be exciting, but who knows. Now, the game's creative director, John Garvin, had this to say about a Siphon Filter reboot. He was quoted as saying, "I really appreciate that question because I was a writer and a director on all the Siphon Filter games. I love Siphon Filter, but man, we have been so focused on Days Gone. But when this thing ships and I can relax, I'll think about it. Never say never." Now, I would just like to point out that this is a reoccurring theme with a lot of Sony developers specifically, which is that it's never say never. You see so many of these guys say, we're never going back to that franchise, this, that, and the other, and then you see a little bit of remorse as time goes on and they do another interview where they say, I shouldn't have said that. Never say never. Maybe we will revisit this franchise or something like that. More specifically to Siphon Filter, I'm not sure that might be a very desirable game to go and revisit. I know a lot of people have fond memories of that game. And many people enjoyed it and whatnot, but it's so old at this point. We haven't had a Siphon Filter game in a long time. I believe the last one was on PSP, if I'm not mistaken. But it's a franchise that it's not really discussed all that much today. It's really faded into obscurity, and it's not really something that people are begging for and kicking and screaming for. For example, the Medieval franchise, which has less games than Siphon Filter, I think, that game seems to generate more buzz and curiosity and spark for some sort of modern take, which it's getting, so that would explain why. I just don't see a lot of people anecdotally talk about, I want more Siphon Filter. Maybe I'm wrong, but John Garvin did also follow that up by saying that he thinks Siphon Filter and Days Gone aren't all that different, and so he was actually quoted as saying, "The key thing that we wanted to do from the very beginning with Days Gone was create a narrative-driven experience, and what Sony Ben has always done is deliver third-person character-driven experiences that has a focus on story." So in that sense, I can see where he's coming from, because initially I read the headline of that story and I thought, Siphon Filter and Days Gone are, like, not that different. What do you mean? They're completely different. But yeah, they're third-person narrative games. Sure, John. There you go. But John seems like a very passionate dude. It looks like he loves his work. I really hope Days Gone is going to be a smash-out success, because the game has gone gold. It's done, it's going to print, and that means it'll definitely hit its release date in April, which is awesome. But I am going to echo some statements I've said before, which is that Sony Ben has a lot riding on this game. It needs to be good. It needs to be a knockout success commercially and critically. Sony's been closing down a lot of studios lately. You know, even when they've got a good game that recently came out, seems like they're kind of putting their foot down. They're doing less games. They're doing bigger budget games that take a longer time. Days Gone is certainly that, but it probably needs to be very good. I mean, their last game was Uncharted Golden Abyss in 2011, 2012 on PlayStation Vita. And they've had many projects, actually. They've started and stopped a few projects up until they finally settled on Days Gone. So they've got a lot of money into this project. It's been 7-8 years now since they've had their last game. So it needs to be good. Now let's talk about Death Stranding. Another person from another studio has gotten the chance to try out the game at Kojima Studios, and sure enough, they're saying the game's going to be timeless. So The Division 2's creative director, Julian Gerardi, went over to Kojima Studios. He sent out this tweet earlier in the week about how the game was mind-blowing, and trust me, Death Stranding will be timeless. Now, Kojima did recently say the game's a little bit behind schedule, but not by much, and it can't be by that much if he's got all these people from other developers coming over to try out his game. And, for whatever reason, I would assume he's looking for feedback, but the game seems far along enough to the point where you can see the first few hours of the game. We know that is a fact. It's just to the extent of, like, is the game playable from start to finish? And it's just a lot of fine-tuning, which could take anywhere from 6 months to a year of fine-tuning. Certainly, if the scope of the game is large enough, it takes a long time to really squash bugs and things like that. But it could be as little as a month to do those things sometimes. It really depends on the nature and scale of the game. So we don't know anything about Death Stranding, so your guess is as good as mine. But I will be damned if I don't admit that all these people saying this game is going to be great is making me so curious and so interested and so ready to play it or see what it is. I just want to know. The wait's killing me. And I know the wait is also killing you for Let's Talk Plus, our weekly Let's Talk PlayStation giveaway, where one of you could win a $10 PlayStation Network code. I would like to congratulate C-Docs. You have won this week's Let's Talk Plus. I'm going to be contacting you via email very soon, so check your spam folder. You should know who you are, because that seems like a highly specific name. Now, if you would like to win a $10 PSN code, it is so simple. You can follow the link down below to the Gleam website. You can follow on Twitter for an entry. You can check out my Instagram page for an entry. You can follow on Twitch for an entry. You don't have to subscribe anymore for an entry. So if you don't like me, you don't have to do that one anymore. So hopefully we are following YouTube's policy guidelines now, because I already got a warning email from the Let's Talk Plus from 2 weeks ago. And it's a recent policy change, so that's why they don't have a problem with the 20 or 30 giveaways we already did already. But we should be good to go. Let's Talk Plus, not going anywhere. I'm still going to pay for your games. With all that said, those are all the news stories I want to talk about to you guys from this past week. Now, if you didn't see, on Tuesday we did some PlayStation 5 features. What we need to see out of this console. It's more of a wish list, because we don't know what PS5 is at this point. We don't have official reveal. We don't have that many rumors just yet. So a good time to theorize a little bit about what we should see out of the console. And more importantly, what I think PlayStation 5 needs in order to be a big success. Other than that, that's pretty much it. I'm not going to tell you what Tuesday's video is, mostly because I don't know what it is. No, well, I do know what it is. It's just a matter of, I don't know if I'll have it done in time, so you might get something else. That's why sometimes I don't tell you those Tuesday videos, man. Because I'm a last-minute person. That's how I run this channel. But that's pretty much it. That concludes this week's episode of Let's Talk PlayStation. I'm Ryan Benecki. Thank you all so much for talking with me. I'll see you all next Friday.